The following is an exclusive presentation of Ravens Productions.
We're watching Ravens Unscripted! The
Ravens!
Looking for Torrey Smith, he's open, he's got it, and he's in for a touchdown!
Terrell Suggs applying the pressure, and the Ravens defense comes up big again.
We have finally hit the bye week, a chance for the players to get away and rest, a chance for us to come together and assess. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ravens Unscripted. I'm Kristen Burset, filling in for Jerry, who also had a chance to get away this week, enjoying the sunshine in Puerto Rico. But we're here working hard, getting ready to talk about the Ravens and where they are so far. Joining us, as usual, Baltimore Ravens, Garrett Downey and Ryan Mink, and also joining us this week from the Baltimore Sun, Aaron Wilson. Guys, let's get right to the top stories. Ravens 6-4 heading into the bye, one of their latest bye weeks they've had in a long time. Garrett, I'll start with you. Where do you assess the Ravens' position right now?
I'll just put it at pretty good. I don't feel great because you would really like to have one of those games against the Bengals that had gone either way. You would love to knock down that 77-yarder against A.J. Green that went for a touchdown, or you would love to have that Steve Smith touchdown stay on the board. Then you're sitting there and you're sitting at 7-3 and you feel a lot better about where they're at. But overall, I think you still feel pretty good. I think this is a team that still has a chance to certainly win the division and compete for a playoff spot, and that's what you want at this point of the season.
It's tough to feel great when you're in last place in the AFC North right now, but with that said, you're only a half a game out of first. I mean, the Ravens could end up, come out of the bye and be in first place if everybody else loses, which is just really kind of crazy. So I think it's a good, not great position, and the Ravens' schedule remaining isn't as tough as some of these other guys. I mean, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati haven't even played each other yet. So the Ravens get to sit back, watch the rest of the division beat up on each other.
Right. There's a good chance that some of these teams will knock each other off, and the Ravens will just, you know, with some of these games against losing teams, and, you know, they can all of a sudden be in an advantageous position here in December. I think the Ravens have a good shot still at making the playoffs. They just have to take care of business at home and can't have any more injuries, obviously. They've had some serious ones. Jimmy Smith's loss is someone you just can't quite replace. Top cornerback, shutdown guy. But I think the Ravens still have an opportunity here to make the playoffs and maybe even be the division champion, depending if things fall just right.
Aaron, you mentioned the secondary last week against the Titans. We saw that revamped secondary. Danny Gore, Jermaine Jacobs, and then also Anthony Levine really coming up. Ryan, is this something that this secondary can sustain, that success we saw against the Titans?
I think it's going to be tough to sustain exactly how good they were against the Titans. I mean, that was a rookie quarterback playing in his first game on the road ever in Zach Mettenberger. So I think we're going to kind of, it's a TBD. We're going to see these next two games coming out of the bye when you have to face Drew Brees, and then you have to go against the Chargers and Phillip Rivers. Then we'll see really where the secondary is at. It's going to be tough for them, I think, to play at an elite level. I think they can be solid.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the jury is still very much out in terms of what this group is going to be down the stretch. I think a lot of it probably depends where they're playing and who they're playing against. And that's what you saw. They're playing at home against the Titans and a rookie quarterback. Next game up, of course, Drew Brees on the road on the carpet in the turf there. So that's a little bit of a tougher task.
So, Aaron, against the Titans, the win, are they back on track, or can you, do you attribute that to a rookie quarterback and a not-so-good team?
I think you have to grade it on a curve because of the rookie quarterback, because of the pass rush they were able to generate, and because, you know, they have a secondary that's really a bunch of moving parts. You have so many changes. You've got Anthony Levine shifting from safety, starting for the first time. I thought he did a commendable job, but he has not been tested by an elite receiver. They haven't gone deep on him. We don't know how he'll track, say, maybe like a double move and things like that. So I think that the jury remains out on the overhauled secondary, and the real test comes down in New Orleans. And then, like Ryan said, the following week against San Diego, the formidable quarterbacks, you got to think that they will, you know, complete some passes on this group, and it's going to be imperative that they get 4, 5, 6 sacks a game. And it's asking a lot of the front seven. You know, you can't always count on that.
Some big games still to come. A lot of work to do for this Ravens squad. And a lot of work for us still to do. We've got much more coming up here on Ravens Unscripted, including one of the most controversial hits from this last Sunday. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Ravens Unscripted is brought to you by AAA. Every game is a big game. Start your journey with AAA. Visit us at AAA.com/Ravens. And by Under Armour.
Hey, this is Kyle Juszczyk, fullback for the Baltimore Ravens. We're standing outside the locker room right now. I hang out with these guys every day.
Boo! Boo!
My name is displayed everywhere. It's on the back of my jersey, on top of my locker. We're going to go see if these guys can spell my last name, see what kind of teammates they really are. Can you spell my last name?
It's J-U-S.
Can you spell my name?
C-Z.
Can you spell it?
No, J-U-S-Z-C-Z-Y-K.
All right, we're here with Terrence Cody. Cody, that's C-O-D-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people around the locker room consider you to be a really good teammate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would say so?
Yes, sir.
You know your teammates pretty well?
Yes, sir.
Can you spell my last name?
I can give it a try.
All right, let's give it a shot.
All right, I'm going to go with J-U-C.
So, Justin, you have the best view of my last name on my jersey. Yeah. Can you spell it?
I can spell it, but it's kind of formal. Like, I like to keep our relationship informal.
Yeah.
So, I just go with Juice.
We're here with Jacoby Jones. You know, our kick returner, I'm the off returner. So you run behind me a lot.
Right.
And
but it's a blur.
It is a blur. There was a time during camp when I changed my number and you didn't even know it was me.
Because I didn't look at the last name.
Right. Can you spell my name?
Yep.
Go ahead.
J-U-I-C-E.
There you have it. It's J-U-S.
J-U-S.
Z-C-Z-Y-K.
Okay.
You got it next time?
Yeah.
You want to speak that back to me?
J-U-S.
Yeah.
C.
No.
Oh.
J-U-S. Z-C-Z-Y-K.
Juice, give it a shot. My native.
Your government name?
My government name, Juszczyk.
Oh. J.
Yep.
U. S. There's a C in there somewhere. Y. I'm all over the place. All right,
he's losing it.
Yeah, I'm
awesome. You're no good. No good.
I'm not even close?
No.
Where did I lose it?
There's a Z after the S.
Hey!
Oh, that's not an easy task. Kudos to Gino and Tori. I think the rest of the guys are just keep calling them Juice. That'll be easy enough for them. Welcome back to Ravens Unscripted. Guys, time now for issue, non-issue. Aaron, I'm going to start with you on this one. Coach John Harbaugh, you know, after every game, talks to his team, and the CBS cameras were in there. He asked them not to air his comments. They accidentally got aired. Maybe some bulletin board material for the Steelers, issue or non-issue?
Because they don't play the Steelers again, at least in the regular season, I think it's a non-issue. I don't think what he said was really that derogatory. I think he's just a coach speaking off the cuff and speaking honestly to his team. When he does have that expectation that he's speaking privately, that should be maintained. I think that going forward, it's something you can't expect would happen again, especially with that network. But just for John Harbaugh, probably something just wanted to nip in the bud, and I think they did that by doing the statement, and it was starting to go viral on the internet and the Pittsburgh television stations. So I think it got handled, and it's not an issue going forward.
Let's be honest. Every coach says stuff like this to his team. Every single coach, every single week.
Your players say stuff like this.
Exactly.
Too, yeah.
I mean, this is just what happens. So you're naive, I think, if you believe that that doesn't happen.
Right.
So it's a non-issue to me. Yeah, he's just talking to his team, whatever.
Yeah, to think that the Steelers are going to come out next year and say, man, we really want to beat the Ravens now.
Right.
Come on.
We've
trash
talk between those two teams.
Exactly.
It's really
everybody
not much.
Everybody wants to win anyway.
Yeah. Garrett, the offense sputtering as of late. We saw it several weeks there, getting off to a fast start, really what they talked about last season, but really sputtering as of late. Issue or non-issue?
Yeah, I think it's an issue right now. They just haven't seemed in rhythm right now. They haven't really seemed in sync. Joe Flacco's kind of been off the mark, hasn't really looked like himself, really since that game against Tampa Bay where he was just lighting it up. He played well against Atlanta, but overall, I'm a little bit concerned with the way they've looked. I think Gary Kubiak, he even said it this week. Yeah, he's looking into that. He's going to try to figure that out. He's looking back at every play through the first 10 games of the season, and he's saying, I'm going to try to figure out what the issue is and then get back on track for these final six games.
And Ryan, you even hear Flacco. He said before, they go over kind of that first dozen or so plays, and they always seem to screw up the first one. But as you've seen them this sputtering a little bit the last couple of weeks, are you concerned about that?
Yeah, I am. I think it's an issue as well. I think the decision-making that you're seeing from Joe Flacco is really the concern right now. You know, earlier in the season, it seemed like he really had picked up Gary's offense well, was making the right decisions. Now, You see him throwing poor interceptions, making poor decisions, trying to go deep when there's a guy, you know, short that's open and whatnot. And that's the really the foundation of Gary Kubiak's system. Hit those short gainers and then turn them into long gainers. Right now, I think the decision-making is a problem, and that's what Gary's looking at, like you said.
Right. We're watching a regression with Joe Flacco and some of the bad habits I think he got into last year, mm-hmm. throwing off his back foot, reacting to pressure, in, you know, kind of overreacting. And I think what you've seen now, he can't get the football to Steve Smith. Steve, in the last 4 weeks, 14 catches for 155 yards, no touchdowns. And, you know, it's a situation where he's had a great season. I don't think he's slowing down because of his age. I think he's just as energetic as ever at 35 years old. But they've got to figure out ways to be more creative to get him the football. And besides that, they've got to get the football out of Joe Flacco's hands quicker. Mm-hmm. And the running game, they may have to do more of it, even though Justin Forsett, you know, he's had a great season, but, you know, can they increase his carries to a level where maybe they're throwing the ball less?
I'm going to move the secondary for a second. Garrett, Matt Elam, second straight week he didn't start. His snaps have been decreasing, issue or non-issue?
You know, I'm going non-issue on this one, and I know that a lot of people around town want to say that, you know, are jumping on the criticizing Matt Elam bandwagon and saying, some people I've even heard saying he's a bust right now. I'm not getting on board with that, and I think it's a situational decision for the reason that he only played 15 snaps because the Ravens want him to play in the box close to the line of scrimmage where he's a downhill kind of a player, and I know the argument. The argument is he's a first-round pick. He should play all the time. He should play every snap.
Stop stealing our arguments.
He should play every snap. Let's go back a couple of years. You guys remember there's a defensive back that the Ravens drafted in the first round in his second season who was a situational player.
I knew you were going to bring up Jimmy Smith.
He was a guy named Jimmy Smith. Yeah. He was a situational player. He played behind Ladarius Webb and Kerry Williams and Corey Graham. You know what happened that season? Do you know what happened that season, Aaron? They went to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Those are different caliber players. Right now, Matt Elam is not playing behind those caliber players at safety right now. Let's be honest.
Corey Graham came in, and Corey Graham came in. He was considered a special teams player at that time. And Kerry Williams was an undrafted player. So if you want to talk about the kind of caliber of those players.
You have both gotten huge contracts now.
Well, yep.
Oh, boy. Yes. We got our little conflict going on here.
It's way too early. It's way too early to say that Matt Elam's a bust or anything like that. I'm not getting on board with that.
I agree with that.
All right, got to move on to our love it or hate it segment, one of our favorites. We'll have that for you. Coming up next. Welcome back to Ravens Unscripted. Time now for Love It or Hate It. Guys, this week against the Titans, we saw a huge hit from Terrence Brooks on Delanie Walker. Garrett, love it or hate it?
I love that there was no penalty. I love the way the Ravens responded to it. I love the way that Terrence Brooks is playing instinctual on the back end there. But I can't say I love the hit because it was tough to see Delanie Walker knocked out like that. It was a scary moment on the field.
All right, Ryan, Elvis Dumervil, best pass rusher in the NFL right now. He's second in the league with 10.5 sacks. You love it or hate that?
I'm sorry, Elvis, but I can't give him the best pass rusher in the league right now. You know, I think Von Miller out in Denver is really an elite pass rusher. I think J.J. Watt, too, is just blowing up everybody. Elvis Dumervil is really good. I think he's helped by a lot of the players around him. I think Terrell Suggs on the other side, some of the defensive linemen the Ravens have, that really helps him. But he's obviously a really good pass rusher.
Aaron.
I'd go with Justin Houston or J.J. Watt. I think those guys, as far as pure pass rushers, just throughout the game generate a lot more pressure. With Elvis, he's more of a situational guy. And like Ryan said, Haloti Ngata and a lot of other people, Terrell Suggs, they attract attention, they push the pocket. He's doing a great job for what he's asked to do. But to call him the best pass rusher in the NFL, I think, is a bit overstated. Maybe back in 09 when he had the 17 sacks, which he is on pace for this year.
He's still a big contributor to this team, so it's been good to see him out there on this defense. Switching the offense for a second, Steve Smith, we hear him talk trash in games. You know, he's out there, has his actions usually do some of the talking for him as well, but he's even talking trash in games where he has just 17 yards and no touchdowns. Ryan, you love it or hate it that he's still got the mentality?
I love it. I think it's fine. You know, Steve Smith is always going to talk trash no matter what happens, and he really talked trash after the game. I mean, he probably talked during the game, but we just don't know about it. But really it happened after he body slammed a Titans linebacker, and then my guy, Aaron, over here asking the question about it.
Yeah, a little fun.
Of course, right? Aaron had some fun with him.
He said they need to hit the weights. They need a better strength coach.
Yeah.
He says, I'm 5'9", 194, and he body slammed a guy that's about 6'1", 248, Avery Williamson. And that's got to be embarrassing when Avery Williamson goes through that film session and with this being out on the internet that Steve's body slammed him. But, you know, Steve is a guy that's just a tough piece of leather. He's a lot stronger than you would think for a guy of his dimensions. And he's like the last person you'd want to mess with in that locker room.
And we've seen him do that in games, you know, making some incredible catches, taking some really big hits, and just popping right back up for his age and his size. Sure. Garrett, do you like that mentality from him?
Oh, I love it. I mean, so often in the media we complain, this guy, all we get is cliche answers. Nobody ever says anything to us. Where's the excitement? Oh, now Steve Smith's bringing it. I'm not going to start complaining now because someone's bringing a little bit too much of an edge in their post-game comments. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It gives us something to talk about.
It's good for us, good for the fans, good for the team. Always makes the game a little bit more fun. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about what you think about the Ravens so far. We're getting your pulse coming up next on Ravens Unscripted.
Ravens Unscripted is brought to you by AAA. Every game is a big game. Start your journey with AAA. Visit us at AAA.com/Ravens. And by Under Armour.
Welcome back. Time now to talk to our panel about some of the MVP situations going on as we get into the second part of the season. We also asked you all for your thoughts. We'll get to your results in just a moment, but I want to start with our panel first. The Ravens offensive MVP through 10 games of the season. Garrett, I'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Steve Smith, and I know that he's been quiet lately, but I think you look at the body of the work through the first 10 games, and I also think that beyond just the production on the field, the attitude and the toughness and the edge that we were talking about a little bit earlier, I think he's brought all of those things. And Justin Forsett, you can make a case for him, but I really like Steve Smith in this role.
Aaron, who you got for offensive?
Justin Forsett, hands down. I think without this guy, they would really have no running game. Bernard Pierce has had injuries. He's had some ineffectiveness, and Lorenzo Taliaferro has had a little bit of a fumbling issue. I got to go with Justin. He's on pace for 1,140 yards and had a breakthrough season. He understands his own system, and
it's
really he's just been a really interesting, neat story for a guy that was supposed to be a placeholder during the original Ray Rice suspension. He's now the guy.
Ryan, who you got, same or somebody different?
I'm going to go with Forsett also. I don't know. I won't go as far as to say the Ravens wouldn't have a running game because no matter who they've plugged in there, Lorenzo carried the load down in Tampa Bay. But Forsett's been really good. There's no doubt about that. They would be worse off without him, a lot worse off.
Well, let's take a look at the results. Our Ravens faithful agree with Aaron and Ryan. They say Justin Forsett got 70% of the vote, but Steve Smith Sr. right there in second at 17%. They also got Flacco and Yonda in there, but Forsett obviously the winner in this one. Let's switch to the defense. Ryan, start with you, MVP on the defense.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Haloti Ngata. I think that he's done a little bit of everything for this defense and is really having kind of a bounce-back season. We saw past couple years he's been banged up. This year, I think he's in good form. I think he's doing a lot of things for this defense. Two interceptions, two forced fumbles.
He's playing safety.
Seriously, they might put him at safety. I mean, Haloti Ngata is really having, I think, a true Pro Bowl year for him.
Aaron,
I was tempted to go with Haloti Ngata as well. I agree, a resurgent year. But I'm going to go with C.J. Mosley, the rookie, being the most valuable player because of all his versatility, the playmaking ability. I know that he has been a little quiet in terms of pass coverage the past two games. I think it's going to pick up because he's so athletic and smart. And I think without C.J. Mosley, this defense just wouldn't be the same.
I'm going to agree with Ryan on this, and it's really close, but I think Haloti's kind of the guy that stirs the drink, as John Harbaugh likes to say. He really is kind of the anchor of that defense, and I think before Jimmy Smith got hurt, he would have been my favorite in this category, but he's been out the last 3 weeks, obviously.
Let's take a look at what our fans decided on this one. They agree with Aaron, C.J. Mosley, 59%. They actually have Elvis Dumervil coming in second at 18%, but right behind him, Haloti Ngata.
Nobody gives the grunt work guys any love, man. Those guys in the middle.
All right, guys, six games left. Ravens really need to make a push, but how many games do you think they need to win to make the playoffs, Aaron?
Four victories at least. Anything less than that and they're out. I think there's a very good chance they win four of six. Look at the teams they're playing. There's some very winnable games here. Miami's starting to fall off a little bit. You've got New Orleans. They're not exactly world beaters. San Diego's fallen off, and you know, you look at how they've played against Cleveland in the past. They handled them the first time. So you got to think they'll have a chance to win that game as well.
I think four definitely gets you in. I think three could perhaps get you in, and it depends on who you beat. Because I think San Diego is going to be in the hunt for that second wild card spot, and I think Miami is. And if the Ravens beat both of those teams and then maybe even beat the Browns, you lose some of those other tough ones on the road or whatnot, you know, against the Saints or whatnot, I think you could still get in at 9-7 in a second wild card spot.
Yes, a five definitely wins you the division. Four maybe does. Definitely gets you in the playoffs, and I agree with Ryan. Maybe there's an outside chance if you only win three that you could maybe get in.
Well, you guys are about the same as our viewers out there. They got 5-4 at the top, 43% and 42%. Only 3% think three is going to go with it, right?
But it's a long shot.
But like you said, it depends who they win against. Right. Really got to pick those victories right. But the viewers going with 5 and 4. All right, Pro Bowl voting is open. Guys, I want to get your take on who you think on this Ravens roster deserves to be in the air. I'm going to start with you.
I think Marshall Yonde is a lock for the Pro Bowl, one of the highest rated players at his position, including the, you know, offense overall in the league. And Marshall, a year removed from that shoulder surgery, has regained all the strength, and you're seeing him make those big blocks. I think he's been really stellar in pass protection. He's my number one choice, and I think Haloti Ngata is a guy that's also a lock. And never count out Elvis Dumervil and Justin Tucker. I could see those guys making it as well.
Garrett, who you got? Same
difference. Yeah, I agree with the usual suspects. I would throw Suggs in the mix as well. But I want to throw here. How about this guy? Here's an under-the-radar guy who probably won't get in, but I think he's deserving. Right tackle Rick Wagner playing right next to Marshall Yonde. He's been a pleasant surprise, and I think he's been one of the best offensive linemen in that group. Probably doesn't get in because it's such a popularity contest with the Pro Bowl, and that's kind of built on a reputation that takes time. So I don't think that he will get in, but I think he's deserving of a Pro Bowl.
Another guy we didn't even bring up, Steve Smith. Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, I know he's in a little bit of a slump now, but it depends on what he does the rest of the way. He's got the name, and he's made a lot of plays that people have seen. I agree, though. Yonde's the third best player in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, who we like to put a lot of stock in. Third best player at any position, offense, defense.
So, Ryan, you were talking about you think three games, pick the wins wisely. Mm-hmm. But what is your prediction for the last half of the season?
Yeah, I think the Ravens are going to take care of business at home, and then they need to steal one on the road, and I think they will do that. Look, this team plays its best in November and December. It kind of builds up to things. I think that they've done that now. They're going to get a little bit healthier. I think the Ravens take care of business in these tough winter months.
Aaron, real quick, your
prediction? My expectation is that they get a wild card and they win 10 games.
Garrett?
I'm going to go next week, upset special on Monday Night Football. I think they do end up beating the Saints. I don't think the Saints are unbeatable, and the Ravens have had their way with the NFC South teams.
Big primetime showdown when the Ravens get back. Guys, thanks so much. I'm sure this conversation is going to continue after this, but I want to remind you to join me Sunday morning for a special bi-week edition of Ravens Report. Justin Forsett joins us in studio to talk about game plan and, of course, as always, John Harbaugh. Thank you all for joining us for Ravens Unscripted. I'm Kristen Burset. Enjoy the bye week. We'll see you here next week.